The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno Restaurant and right across the street from the Sears-less North Shore Mall. That's right. Sears is no longer there. They blew it up, knocked it down, trashed the whole place a few weeks ago, and they are now filling in the hole, turning it into a parking lot. That's right. I mean, who really was going to Sears anyways over the past couple of years? Plenty of things still going on at the North Shore Mall. Lots of changes over there. There's a new PGA shop that's popping up over there. Hey, you know what I just heard about what's going on at the North Shore Mall? Perhaps. Now, this is maybe a little speculation, maybe a little foreshadowing, but I heard that Mayor Teddy Betancourt is soliciting city council and those in the city to bring the Big Apple Circus to set up in the parking lot at North Shore Mall. I mean, hey, that it used to be down over where Assembly Square was. And if you've been over where the Assembly Square Mall is in that whole area, that's really developed nicely. I think it would be a fabulous location. Think about the traffic that would come to the mall for the Big Apple Circus. Hey, I don't have to worry about it. I'm across the street from the mall, so no problem for me. I just get this bird's eye view from my office at 41 Cross Street, just upstairs from Alto Forno Restaurant, and see all of the excitement that is building over there. Mark Whiting, who's the general manager at the mall, is doing a fabulous job reinventing that place. Certainly try to bring local venues, local businesses, local entertainment, local everything, and hopefully, let's see if maybe we could squeeze the radio station in a spot over there. Wouldn't it be nice to have a little windows on the world over at the North Shore Mall? Are you listening, Mark Whiting? I don't know if you are, Mark, but I know we've talked many times about that as well. So this does not come as a surprise to you. Anyways, we are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. You know what's kind of interesting? About 7 years ago when I started doing this radio show, we started with this tagline, financial advice in a language you can understand. And some people came to me and they said, Mark, you can't use that. I said, what do you mean I can't use it? They said, don't you think it's a little condescending to people by saying financial advice in a language you can understand? What are you calling our listeners stupid? No, that's not what I was trying to say before, but and I'm still not trying to say that. The whole concept is that we live in a world more than ever over the past 10 years where financial products, financial solutions, financial ideas using money have become top of mind issues. And if you watch the number of television shows on CNBC, Bloomberg, wherever it is that you might watch to get your financial information, these people, frankly, are talking over everybody's head. And sometimes they talk over their head just to make themselves sound smarter, because I've told you many times on this radio show, investing isn't difficult, folks. Investing is actually quite easy. What you need to be able to have is the discipline to stay invested. That's the hardest part. Picking investments and making smart investment choices, it really isn't that hard, but staying invested, making sure that you have the discipline no matter what happens in the market environment, kind of what's happened, just take the past 4 or 5 months that we've gone through. I mean, think about all the people that have gone through the hills and valleys of investing in October when the market hit its all-time high and then dropped. It dropped pretty significantly for the rest of the month of October. November kind of flattened out. People thought, oh, maybe we'll get out of this thing. And then December, man, was that a tough month. Dropped down for a month up until Christmas Eve, where then on December 26th, market was closed on the 25th, On December 26th, the market started its climb back, and man, has that climb been pretty successful through January and February. If you got your January statement as of recently, you're going to see a pretty dramatic difference between the value of your December 31st statement versus your January 31st statement, especially if you remained invested in stocks. So one of the points there is that you have to be disciplined. We can't keep getting in and out and in and out of the market. We don't want to worry about that stuff. You need to set a strategy that is for the long term. A strategy that long term means more than the 6 o'clock news, folks. It means more than, you know, April school vacation or when my kids go back to school in September. Long term means 3 to 5 years or longer than that. If you're not willing to put money aside and say, I am not going to touch this money, then you shouldn't be investing. And I will tell you, I've told this many times now on the radio, if you haven't been to visiting your bank lately and finding out what their new savings and money market rates are, I think you'd be a little surprised. And if you haven't heard, I'll do a little recap with you right now on the radio. Look, many of us use some of the large financial institutions, the Bank of America's, the Bank Santander's, the TD Banks of the world. Look, I've been using Bank of America for the longest time. But as you well know, if you use some of these large banks, what are their rates on the money that you invest there? At Bank of America right now, I think it was 0.03% was when I last checked. It may have changed a little bit. 0.03, not 0.3, 0.03%. And I explained the past couple of weeks that there is a way, if you're at one of these major banks, to see the interest rate that you can get on your money at the bank grow by more than 1,000%. What if I told you you could invest something, invest money or save money and get 1,000% greater return than what you're getting right now? Oh, your ears up? You're listening now? Well, here's what's fascinating. The regional banks, and what we did in our office, we went and looked at all the regional banks. That's like the Salem Five, the East Boston Savings, the North Shore Banks, maybe Beverly Cooperative, some of those banks in the area. You take a look and find out what their money market and savings rates are, and you're going to find that they're close to 2%. Not 0.2, not 0.02, but 2%. So imagine if you could move from 0.03% on your local savings account and get close to 2. Some are over 2, some are under, around there, okay? Just don't hold me to any particular number because they change daily. But there's a big difference there. That's thousands of percents of return that you could get simply by making the change. And so I talk to people and I'm encouraging folks to look around. Yet, like me, my money's still at Bank of America. Why is that? What am I, an idiot? Mark, this is financial advice in a language we can all understand. I know that 2% on $10,000 is far greater than 0.03% on $10,000. But why don't I move? Because we're lazy. That's one. And you know what the biggest thing is? We go, that would be a pain. What an aggravation that would be. Do you think Bank of America knows that? Oh, yeah, they do. They want to do everything they possibly can to get you to stay. And I'm picking on Bank of America, but the same thing applies for TD Bank and Santander and all these others. So here's my thing. One of the things that I love about Bank of America, and they're not paying me to say this, I promise you. I have 5 kids. So all 5 of my kids all have bank accounts at Bank of America. Laura and I have an account. And if I need to transfer money from my account to the kids' accounts, I can do that on the app. Very easy to do it. I can pay my bills online. Very easy to do it. All that stuff is very simple. If I'm traveling overseas, very easy to let Bank of America know I'm traveling overseas. Lots of convenience there. Now, does that not say that Salem 5 or East Boston Savings or North Shore Bank offer automatic bank, you know, automatic bill pay and being able to pay on an app and doing all that stuff? Of course they do. But do you know how much of a pain in the neck it is to transfer all that stuff over? A pain in the neck. So here's my advice to you. Here's what I did do. I looked at some of both the regional banks and then some of the online banks. If you looked at Capital One or Ally Bank or some of these others that are out there, Capital One is offering over 2% as well. And I thought to myself, well, I know I like to keep a minimum amount of money in my checking account at Bank of America because I got to pay my bills, but I was carrying far more money in my checking account than I should have. Now, could have I invested the money? Absolutely. Could I have picked investments to do that? Yes, but might I need some excess money around just in case I need it in the next year or two? Well, that kind of money is money that you call it short-term need money. You don't put that in an investment account, but you put it in something that is guaranteed and it pays you interest. So I went and I downloaded the Capital One 360 app. And in five minutes, I was able to transfer money from Bank of America to Capital One. I didn't have to go into the store. I didn't have to go in and meet with anybody. I just typed in some numbers and electronically, boom, it moved over. Now, did the money show up immediately? No, it takes a couple days for it to transfer over. But amazingly, I couldn't believe in 1 month, I actually saw my account go up because I earned interest. I earned interest on my money at Capital One. I don't know that I can. I actually earned a penny at Bank of America in a month. Now, like I said, nothing wrong with the Bank of America. You got to pick and choose the features that you want from your bank. I was able to get the best of both worlds. And I'd encourage you to look at Ally, look at Capital One. This is for the money that you say, you know what? We may need to touch this in 2 to 3 years. We might need to do that. The other thing is, I wouldn't start running out to go buy a 1 year or 2 year CD right now. Because you can get a rate very similar at a regional bank or an online bank that's equal to what the 1 and 2 year CD rates are, but you have instant access to the money. Isn't that more helpful rather than having to worry about signing forms and paying penalties and all that stuff? Think about it. Go out and do your research. If you want to get our bank rate sheet that we've put together, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or just drop me an email, Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. We'll send you that rate sheet. You'll be brought up to date. And that is the start of financial advice in a language you can understand. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money.
Did you know that 80% of taxpayers are expected to pay less in taxes this year than they did last year? This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of this Dollars and Cents show right here on North Shore 104.9. That's right, 80% of taxpayers are expected to pay less this year than they did last year, according to the Treasury Department. However, how many times have you seen that supported in the press lately? Well, here's some more financial advice in a language you can understand. A lot of these stories that are coming out and says, man, President Trump once again stuck it to us all. He stuck it to every citizen here in America. He's rolled out this new tax plan, this new tax package, and we all ended up paying for it. Wrong. That is just pure wrong. Because I will explain a little bit of how the tax system works now to give us all an education that is not necessarily being translated as it should be through the press. That's because they have what's called sound bites to fill. 15-second, 30-second sound bites. They're going to get the most compelling headline that they can put out there, the most scary tactic that they can throw out to get you to watch more. Remember, the news today, and the news always has been, but more so than ever before, the news is now the entertainment business. If you're not being entertained watching the news, you won't watch the news. So here's this. When they rolled out the new tax package for 2018, tax rates across the board dropped. Tax rates across the board dropped. But here's what happened, and we warned you about this in January and February of last year, is that your take-home pay in January and February was going to be a little bit more, especially if you're a salaried employee or an hourly wage employee. Not if you're a 1099 employee, that doesn't apply here. But if you're a regular salaried or hourly employee, you are actually going to see a little bit more in your paycheck. And you may not have thought much of it because you thought, well, when I met with my boss at the end of 2017, he or she told me I was going to get a raise. There was going to be a little bit of change in my pay. So I just figured with the new paycheck, oh, look, my raise is incorporated into that new paycheck. True. But with the new tax package, the IRS was taking less taxes from your pay because your tax rate based upon the income you were expected to be paid for the year was going to be less. And so you ended up with more money in your paycheck, in your take-home pay, but less withheld to the government. Now, when you add all that stuff up over the course of the year, plus the interest and dividends you might have earned on investments, plus other sources of income you might have had. Remember, interest and dividends, Social Security, capital gains, generally, taxes aren't withheld on those items. So the taxes that are withheld from your paycheck often have to contribute to the coverage of taxes due on things like interest, dividends, capital gains, Social Security, etc. So what happened is you've been so used to getting this same approximate refund every year, and all of a sudden you go to do your taxes and you find out, oh my goodness, no refund for me, or I'm getting a smaller refund. Must be the president's fault. Look, we'll blame everything on the president here. This is Massachusetts. Elizabeth Warren is the hero here. Not in my opinion, but not the hero. But Trump is to blame for everything. And I'm not necessarily grandstanding for Mr. Trump here or the president here, but I just think that he gets sometimes a raw deal on some of the things that has actually been done in this country that he just doesn't get a fair shake here. The point is that the fact that you got a smaller refund is that you simply didn't have enough money withheld from your pay stub. That's on you. That's not the government's fault. That's on you. And unfortunately, all the stuff that we are responsible for, it's just the way our culture seems to have grown up. When it's our responsibility, we don't want to take responsibility for it. We'd rather pawn it off on somebody else. Oh, the government should have let us know. The government should have fixed that up. Or, you know, when you get in a fight with somebody, it's the other person's fault. Or when they deliver you a meal at a restaurant and they don't ask all the proper allergy questions or the food restriction questions, it's their fault, not your fault. And no, it's not your fault to let them know that you have a food restriction or a dietary requirement. We have to stop blaming everybody else for everything. We have to start taking more accountability for the stuff that we are responsible for. Folks, you can change the way you get your refund or the amount of taxes that you pay. It is controlled by you. It is a check and balance system here. That's the way our tax system works here in America. It's a check and balance system. If your income at the end of your taxable income at the end of a year is, let's say, $100,000, there is a tax table you go to and it says this is the tax that you owe. And let's just say that number is $20,000. I'm just grabbing a number. I don't have a tax table in front of me. So if you owe $20,000 on $100,000, the first thing you have to do is identify how much tax has already been withheld from your pay for federal taxes. If you withheld $18,000, that means your tax liability is $2,000. You can do the math. That means no refund for you. You have to pay $2,000. But if you had $22,000 withheld and your tax was $20,000, you get a $2,000 refund. That's how that works. So you get to control. That's right. You, not your employer. You get to control how much tax is being withheld from your pay. Now, if you choose not to do that, if you choose not to get educated or try to understand how much should I have withheld, is that your employer's problem? Is that the IRS's problem? No, stop it. Stop blaming everybody else. Take some responsibility. It's very easy to do. Very easy to do. Now, what some people say is, you know what? I don't want to take the time. I don't have the time for that. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I don't have the time. Well, you know what we will do? People will then hire an accountant, or they'll hire a financial advisor, and they say, help me figure out what my withholdings should be moving forward. We do this all the time. Yeah, I run a financial planning company. Yes, Friedman Financial manages millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, over $400 million for about 450 households. But if all I did was give you advice on investments, I would be a waste of your time. And if all your financial advisor does for you is just give you advice on investments, you are spending way too much money for that advice. Your financial advisor needs to provide you so much more than investment solutions. And one of those things that they could provide to you is some guidance on tax planning. I'm not saying they need to do your tax return for you, but they could certainly do some tax planning for you. That's why when people come to our office, one of the things that we ask you to bring is your tax return. And we also ask you to bring pay stubs, because we want to try to project, do a pro forma projection of what your tax liability is going to look like. And if we need to give you some guidance to talk to the HR department or talk to your employer at work so that you can adjust your withholdings so you're not surprised. You're not surprised with whether you're going to owe money or whether you're going to go to get a refund. Because it's your responsibility. Can't blame this one on the president. But it's so easy to do, isn't it? It's so much easier to blame stuff on somebody else. Here's what we've done to try to make it easy. If you want to still do it on your own and you don't want to come in and talk to us about all of your stuff, I've even made it easier for you. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. If you go to my website, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a section that says resources up there. And under that, there'll be a drop-down that talks about financial calculators. And you have the opportunity to put in your tax return with a few very easy steps. And then you can change things within this tax return template to see, well, I've had a certain amount of money withheld. What if I withhold a little bit more? How will that change my refund? How will that change what I owe? You can do it on your own. You can have me do it. If you're a client of ours, we're happy to do that stuff. These are things that you need to know. This is your life, especially if you're managing cash flow. Look, many people come to us saying, I know I got to live on a budget. I know I have to live on a budget. Well, you know, budget is a nice thing to live on, but it's like trying to stay on a diet too. You might do it for about 6 weeks and then you give up, right? You go back to your own routine. But there are certain things that you can do to change the way your routine can stay the same, but you change the dynamics of what's part of your routine. And that's doing things that are set up automatically. So, for instance, if you could go to your employer and instead of having $150 withheld from your pay each pay period, maybe you change it to $170. All of a sudden, your take-home pay might change a little bit, but you know that in the end, when April comes around or the time that you want to file your taxes comes around, you're not going to be asked to have to pay a lot of money, or your refund may not be as large. You know, some people will say, well, Mark, I like to get a refund. It's part of my cash flow. It's what I count on. And that, my friends, is the problem. Could you imagine living your life hoping that your refund will be what you expect it to be so you could cover all of the excess expenses, the credit cards, or whatever it is that you accumulated over the course of the year and use that to pay off those numbers? That's, if you want to take that risk, don't you think you have a personal responsibility to make sure that you're really close to what that refund number is going to be? If you're just going to toss it to the wind and not take the responsibility to figure it out, I have no sympathy for you. I'm sorry. I mean, I am direct on this show. There is a level of personal responsibility. You can either do it or you can say, you know what, I don't want to do it, but you can hire somebody to help you do it. That's okay too. Look, how many of you hire someone now to clean your house? When you were a kid, did you hire someone to clean? Did your parents hire someone to clean the house? I know my parents didn't. I know my parents didn't hire someone to cut the lawn. I know my parents didn't hire someone to plow the driveway. That was my job as a kid. And for many of you who are listening to the show, perhaps that was the way it was. But today, we are willing to pay for convenience. That's what we pay for. Think about how many times you visited Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks this week. Could have you made coffee at home? Could have the coffee been probably just as good? Could you have even made 10 times as much coffee as you could get at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts? Of course, but we like the convenience. I love going into the high school each year. At North Andover High School, I get invited in by one of the teachers who runs a personal finance class. Yes, there's actually a personal finance class at North Andover High School. I go in and I do a real life, a reality check in Mr. Oberlander's class. And one of the things that I do as part of the reality check, I pull out 3 bottles of Poland Springs water. 3 bottles, and I put them in front of the students, and I say, who can tell me what the difference is between these 3 waters? And in reality, they're all the same, right? It's the exact same bottle, exact same Poland Springs bottle. And so then I flip up a little card, and in front of it, the first card says 13 cents. The next card I flip up says $1.49, and the last one says $4.50. And they're all in front of all of those waters. And I said, what is wrong with this picture? And the kids begin to realize that the same water can cost 1,000 times more if they buy it at Dunkin' Donuts or at a local convenience store, at a Walgreens, at wherever you choose to run in and grab, hey, can you pick up some waters? I'm thirsty. Or the $4.50 one, try going to the Garden, Boston Garden, or going to Fenway Park, or going to any concert. For a water? For a water? You know, if you've ever been to Fenway Park, there are guys that are on the street in the parking lots that have these big coolers, and they sell a water for $1. And you go, oh, that's a great deal. Great deal. The guy paid $3.99 for 36 waters, and he's selling them for $1. Oh, they're ice cold. They're ice cold waters. This guy is making a fortune. And so too is the Garden. So too is the supermarket, as the supermarkets and all these places that will buy, that will sell you the bottles by the individual. We're willing to, I'm not faulting them. We are a economic society that is willing to pay for convenience. But when it comes time for trying to save ourselves some money on our taxes, we're very hesitant to pay someone to do that. And that puzzles me. You'll spend money, you'll spend excess money to buy a coffee or to have someone plow your driveway, but you won't spend money to have someone save you real money, real, real money that will put more money in your pocket. We need to start changing the way we think about money. And that, my friends, is financial advice in a language you can understand. And we're going to have more of it when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial.
Hi, it's Bill Haney, owner of the North Shore Music Theater. 2019 will be my 10th season producing shows, and what a great season we have planned.
The season opens with a high-stepping, beloved classic musical, Oklahoma. Next up, it's Disney's new musical version of the hysterical movie, Freaky Friday. Then join us for the hottest ticket of the summer, Jersey Boys. The 2019 season continues with Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard. The season will close with the area's premiere of The Bodyguard, featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. You won't want to miss a single show in 2019.
I got a funny feeling when she walks.
Join us for a show. Visit nsmt.org.
She take my money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger way over town that digs on me.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno Restaurant and right across the street from the North Shore Mall. We've been in the Peabody community for 50-plus years. Yeah, not me. Well, I've been in the community for 50-plus years. I'm 52, but I wasn't working in the firm when I was two. My father started the firm in 1968. I was in a crib. Probably one that you couldn't buy now because there was probably an illegal crib, I'm sure. I could probably stick my head through the bars or, you know, all these safety things. It's getting crazy. Hey, talk about things that are crazy. So my son Noah is 17 years old, and I come home last weekend, and he's with his girlfriend in the family room, and they're watching TV, and he says, "Hey, Dad, have you ever seen the show Glee?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've seen Glee, but Glee's off the air." He says, "Yeah, we just started watching it. It's on Netflix. It's pretty good." And I mean, Noah's in the show choir. Noah's in musicals and things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, Noah, you're 17 years old. How did you not know about Glee? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. And it occurred to me that when Glee came out, Noah was probably 8 or 9 years old. And we probably didn't think that Glee was the most appropriate television show for him to watch. But my wife and I were avid followers of Glee. And it was the topic of conversation each and every week because we didn't have Netflix. We didn't have the whole DVR thing set up as well as we do now. You would tune in to watch Glee each week, right? So we've been watching Glee. And it occurred to me, I mean, Glee became, years ago, the show that allowed the ability to be who you are and feel comfortable about it in the school systems. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and perhaps when you were, if they had a talent show at your high school in the 80s, and you were going to perform in the talent show in the high school, you had better have been really, really good. Because if you stunk, that audience was letting you know. And if you were, let's say, a football player who wanted to get up and do a dance or play the piano, it still was going to be tough for you, right? It just was not happening. The world we live in the schools, it has changed a lot over the past 7 or 8 years with this level of acceptance for a lot of things, which I think is absolutely tremendous. And Glee was one of these shows that really introduced that opportunity to really speak out and be your person. But what I found fascinating was not that element, because that's now mainstream. What became interesting was the character of Sue Sylvester in Glee. Sue Sylvester is the most politically incorrect person you have ever met. And you watch, and she would go, "Well, this stereotype group goes over here. This stereotype," and she would, I mean, she would really, really let him have it. Belting kids in the school, pushing people over, saying, "You're ugly, you're too fat, you need to lose 20 pounds. What about those zits on your face? You can't sing, you can't," all these things you can't do, right? The stuff that, people are getting suspended for that stuff right now, right? And it occurred to me, I said to Noah as I'm watching Glee, I said, "Do you think that we could show Glee on network TV today?" And it's not that far away from when it ran. And I think what the challenging part of Glee was not Sue Sylvester, but the introduction of same-sex couples, of all sorts of different types of relationship, interrelational relationships, all this stuff 7 or 8 years ago. That was the stuff that was like, this was driving it forward. This was cutting edge. And now, Sue Sylvester was kind of like in the background. It's like, "Oh, we understand that. I get that." Now you put her on TV today, and there'd be some group that would shut it down tomorrow. I just think the world has changed, and we need to adapt. We, as we think about everything that we do, has changed. And that's why I think about over the past 6 or 8 months, when you think about the stock market and the way we think about planning for our financial future, we can't rely on what it used to be. It's different. There are some things that will always remain constant. We need to own businesses. Ownership of businesses is the fuel that runs this economy. Businesses have to have the opportunity to borrow funds so that they can continue to grow. So ownership and borrowing money on a smart level, that's a relationship of stocks to bonds, if you will. We have to have those in our portfolios. But each year, that mix of what we own changes. You know, years ago, I don't have the chart in front of me, but there was this, I think they call it a histogram that they put together. It was a picture of the percentage of money allocated to different sectors in the market. And so if you looked in like the 50s and the 40s, if you were investing back then, the largest weighting that anybody would have would be in transportation. Think about that. Transportation was the greatest area where people invest. The development of the train, the car, the airplane, all of that stuff, and all of the stuff that would support that industry. How much money do you think was allocated to technology in the 50s and 60s? Not much. How much do you think was allocated to technology in the 70s, in the 80s and 90s even? What technology from the 80s and 90s do we still use today? Nothing. I thought it was interesting that the web name apple.com was reserved as a domain name in 1987. Apple.com was reserved in 1987. No one knew what Apple was back then. No, certainly not as a website name. It's really amazing the amount of money and the amount of companies that allocate themselves towards technology is far greater than it was just 15 or 20 years ago. Will technology be the leader 15 years from now? Who knows? Will it be medicine? Will it be the financial system? Will it be energy? Will it be, and when we think about energy, what kind of energy will it be? Will it be green energy? Will it be water-driven energy? Will it be wind energy? Will it be oil? Who knows? But we need to be willing to move with the trends that happen in the world and to remain invested. Yet when things like that happen, when change happens, it can get rocky. It can get choppy. We saw that happen in October, November, and December. We saw a discussion about a tariff arrangement between the United States and China. The idea was raised that, oh my goodness, what if everything we imported cost us 25% more? Huh. Imagine this. You know, you think about, I like to do this when I go into schools. I'll go into classrooms and we do an international scavenger hunt. Ask your kids, if you're a teacher, to do an international scavenger hunt and see how many different countries are represented in the classroom. Ask them to look at everything in the classroom where it says made in China, made in Bangladesh. Look at your clothes. Look at your sneakers. Look at the chalkboard. Look at the desk. Look at everything and find out all the different countries it came from. Chances are you're going to find that the vast majority of the stuff in the classroom came from somewhere outside of the United States. So I want you to now imagine that everything now costs 25% more. Now, if you're in the school system, that would freak you out significantly because they're already taking money away. They're not willing to spend more money, right? So that would certainly freak out a stock market, right? If everything that you were going to buy from the grocery, well, probably not groceries because most of that stuff is local. Well, some of it's local. But just from the things that you bring in, whether it's furniture, whether it's an automobile, if everything cost 25% more, oh, would we have to change the way we spend, the way we handle our lives? Absolutely. So that freaked out the market for a couple months. Do you think that's going to happen? I don't. Not at all. But depending upon the news sources that you use for your own personal information, you could be brainwashed into believing one way or another. Maybe I'm being brainwashed that says, no, it's not going to be. But maybe you're being brainwashed that suggests for sure it's going to be up 25% or maybe more because Trump's bad. That's a possibility. I believe, and I think our markets have suggested to us moving forward for 2019, that whole trade concern, the tariffs that have been threatened by our president, are not really going to happen. Now, it's not that we don't pay any tariffs on the stuff we bring in. We already pay some kind of a tariff. Is it going to change that much? I don't think so. But think about this. If we did have a tariff that was imposed on everything that we had to bring in, do you think we'd impose a tariff on everything we want to export? Of course we would. Now, if I'm Europe, I'm worried. Because How much does Europe self-create themselves? Where do they get the... Do they have the ability to bring oil out of the grounds in Europe? No. Where are they going to get certain supplies? If they have to pay a huge tariff, that can be a bigger deal. United States, believe it or not, I know this is hard to believe, but you know, we used to think about the Saudi Arabians as the people that provided us with all the oil. Did you know that America is a greater exporter of oil than it is an importer of oil? We have enough oil in our own country to be self-sustaining. Most people don't realize that. We've come a long, long way. But if tariffs were in place, if we had to start taxing everything that the Europeans, and I'm just picking on the Europeans here, have to import from our country, that would kill their economy. And that's why the international markets did far worse than the domestic markets did last year. Now, who has the better opportunity moving forward in 2019? Well, assuming the tariff issue just goes away, where do we basically see markets having greatest success? Domestically, we see that the stock market should do well. Now, granted, it has done extraordinarily well so far for the year. I mean, if you looked at your statement, your January statement, and perhaps even your February statement when it comes out, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised to see what the value is compared to what the end of the year was when perhaps you were a little worried. But if you owned investments that are in the international space, you may not have seen the rebound come back as quickly. However, if you're a long-term investor, should you be worrying about what happens in the international markets in March through September or December or even into 2020? I believe that the greatest returns that people will see, certainly over the next couple of years, will come from not just the international markets, but the emerging markets. The emerging markets, the Indias, the Brazils, the Chinas, the Vietnams of the world, where development is huge. But one of the things that is challenging here in America is the fact that many people, more than you think, have never really left this country. With the exception of maybe a cruise to the Caribbean, a trip up to Montreal, or maybe a vacation to Cancun, they've really never left the country to visit other countries. And that's unfortunate, because if you were to travel to other countries, you would begin to realize how vibrant some of these other countries are, even the ones that I listed as developing countries. I've been to India a couple times. Now, India is as poor can be, but also far richer than you could possibly imagine. It is that extreme. There is no middle class in India. You're either poor or you're rich. And within the level of poor, there is what they call caste systems, where you've been cast to a particular level of poverty or cast to a particular level of wealth, and you marry within that space. And yes, believe it or not, in India, 45% of marriages are still arranged marriages. You might shake your head at that. Is that possible? Yeah, it's true. The other marriages, they call them love marriages. But the world is changing. If you were to go to Mumbai today in India and you saw the development that is going up, the skyscrapers, the industry, the infrastructure, and if all of a sudden someone could be making more than, instead of making $250 for the month, which is what many workers might make over there, imagine if they could make $250 for the week. Now, you might think $250 for a week, I couldn't survive on that. But that's four times an increase in their pay. So if all of a sudden they have the disposable income with four times as much income, there's a huge opportunity, and there's 2 billion of them. We have 330 million here in America. The opportunities that exist in developing markets are tremendous. Will there be volatility along the way? You betcha. In fact, in 2018, international markets on average were down anywhere from 13 to 18% and sometimes even more. But when international markets do well, like they did in 03, 04, 05, and 06, they had runs of 38, 20, 13, and 26 as returns. And that's running off a disciplined diversification chart that I have here from MFS. Folks, you need to have some exposure overseas. If you don't, get some. If you need help finding it, we can help you do that. And we'll continue to provide you with more financial advice in a language you can understand When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
There are moments in life when it's critical to have the best care possible. When you're living with an advanced illness like cancer, COPD, heart disease, or dementia, you want hospice care that helps make the most of the time that remains. That's Care Dimensions, Massachusetts' premier nonprofit hospice provider. Our hospice palliative care and bereavement programs are known nationally for quality and innovation. Let our experience improve yours. Ask for Care Dimensions by name or visit caredimensions.org.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall at 41 Cross Street, just upstairs from Alto Forno Restaurant. Hey, if you haven't been to Alto Forno, the menu, new menu again, food is fabulous. Their sister restaurant, Palana, get this, they got named one of the most romantic restaurants in the country. And that came out the day before Valentine's Day. You know, you couldn't get a seat there Valentine's Day. If you called up that day, hey, can I get a seat over there? No, they were sold out. But go to Palana. Hey, they're probably booking now. You can reserve your seat maybe for May. Really, they're that popular. It is that good. The food is that fabulous. But use OpenTable. Use all those places. Test out some of these restaurants in the area. I think Palana's doing a great job. Bancroft over at the North Shore Mall, if you haven't been there. As you well know, several months ago, I was not a fan of Bancroft. I had a series of disappointing experiences over there. Well, man, the manager, his name is Boo. He has turned around this place. It is amazing. Go visit Boo. Go visit his assistant manager, Tim. They are doing a tremendous job. Excellent, excellent food over at the Bancroft. Alto Forno doing a great job. Hey, if you've been to Daniela's in Danvers, you all know that's another tough place to get a reservation. But the food there is always great. And their takeout that they do, some of the catering platters that they do are fabulous. Some of the pastas and the desserts that they do there. Go check it out. Always trying to tell you about some things that I enjoy doing here on the North Shore. That's because I'm a North Shore guy. Hey, I grew up in Peabody. I went to Peabody High School. I was the president of the Chamber of Commerce in the year 2000. I joined my dad's firm in 1991, which was Friedman Financial. It had already been around for almost 19 years at the time. And dad retired in 2007. And now I'm running the business with my business partner, Marion Gilman, who is close to celebrating her 20th year at the office. So we're thrilled to have Marion with us. She's on this show periodically with me because I need someone smarter than me on the radio because she's just brilliant. She brings so much great stuff to this radio show, and we'll be sure to have her back on again. But if now is the time, seriously, if now is the time for you to get serious about getting your financial house in order, give us a call. We are meeting with new appointments all the time. We have the space. We have the time to meet with you, to give you the guidance that you need. Perhaps it's time for a second opinion. Perhaps you said to yourself, you know what? I just watched my accounts drop in October and November and December. I just wanted to get back to where it was, or at least close to where it was. And when I get there, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to get a second opinion. I got to do something because I can't live with this stomaching of up and down and up and down. Give our office a call. There's no cost or obligation to come in for a free initial consultation. And if you just want to talk over the phone first, that's fine too. one of the things that I have found that amazes so many people who listen to this radio show, and they say this to me a lot, is, Mark, I'll drop you an email or I'll call the office and you'll actually respond. Trust me, I'm not that famous. Really not at all. And I will really spend time with you on the phone. I'll talk with you in the office. I'll give you some advice. If you're not a good fit for my firm, I'll tell you so, but I'll also give you advice and direction as to where you can go to get the best advice for your situation. That's one of the things we take great pride in at Friedman Financial. We've been an institution here, really, 52 years on the North Shore. I know that our brand and our name and our reputation has served so many families so well. But what happens in that world is many people feel like, oh, Mark's just too big for me. I can't handle that anymore. I can't handle a firm like his. I'd encourage you to check us out and see what we're all about. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. We have a tab on our website that says New Client Information. You hit that tab, and it's a PowerPoint presentation, really. You look at the PowerPoint presentation, and it's called Getting to Know Friedman Financial. We'll walk you through the steps. We'll walk you through who our clients are, what they all look like. And perhaps you will find that we may be a better fit than you thought. We don't deal with the super wealthy, folks. But when you think about super wealthy, what does that mean? Does someone who makes $100,000 seem to be super wealthy to you? Well, if you're 22 years old, someone that makes $100,000 is super wealthy. But I'll tell you this. When we look at the right kind of client, when people say, well, how do I compare with your other clients? I'll tell you this, it has nothing to do with how much money you make. How much money you make means absolutely nothing to me. It's what you keep and how you handle what you keep and how responsible you are in managing what you keep. Because, look, I'll tell you a story, and like I said, every segment that I do here on the show, I never know really what I'm going to talk about, and it just kind of rolls into something. Years ago, I wrote a book called Retiring for the Genius back in, I think it came out in 2014, 2015, something like that. And I told the story of two clients who were both looking to retire. They'd come in to visit with me on the same month. One was a pulmonary surgeon. He made $650,000 a year. He was 64 years old. The other was an engineer at General Electric. He made $120,000 a year. The General Electric employee, his wife worked, I think she was a librarian. She just did some part-time work as a librarian. The three kids were, one of them had gone into the military, and the other two kids had moved out. They moved down to the Carolinas or down to Florida, and they were working just regular jobs. They had attended state colleges and very happy doing their own thing. The pulmonary surgeon, the wife never worked. Never worked a day in her life, actually. In fact, she was left a trust fund by her parents years prior with close to $2 million in it. However, they came to me at 65 years old, and the only money that they had was about $180,000 left from the trust fund. He was making $600,000 a year. They owned two homes, one in Dover, one in Naples, each home worth over $2 million. But each home carried mortgages of over $1 million each. And he wanted to know how he could retire. It's really fascinating, folks. Don't ever let somebody's income threaten you to think, oh, they're far better off than I am. This person believed he needed to maintain memberships at two country clubs, needed to drive the nicest cars, needed to wear the finest clothes, needed to attend all of the various socialite events in both of his communities. Yet meanwhile, at 64 years old, he soon realized he could never, ever retire. Because every dollar that he spent, every dollar that he netted from his take-home pay was being spent and then some. That other guy who worked for General Electric with $120,000 had accumulated more than $1.2 million in his 401k plan. He'd worked there for 40-something years. Fortunately, he didn't just do it with GE stock because, you know, that's owning an individual stock can be a volatile experience. He used the mutual funds. He dollar cost averaged in. He played his way in, and he understood that he would need roughly about $5,000 a month to support his lifestyle in retirement. And that was easy peasy. And he's doing far better than that. He spends more than $5,000 a month. So don't ever feel intimidated that just because someone's making more money than you are, that the situation is worse for you than the other person. And the other person, the other thing that I remind you of is, let's say you're a teacher. Let's say you work in the school system. Maybe you're a police officer. Maybe you're a firefighter. You work for some type of a government office. And you're about ready to approach retirement, and you hear about your friends that work for some biotech company or some financial company, and they have $1 million in their 401k plan. And you think, well, I don't have that. I have a nice 403b plan with maybe $83,000 in it. But you're also going to get a pension of $45,000. And they're not. Think about this. If I were to take that $1 million that they had in the 401k plan and give it to an insurance company and say, pay us a guaranteed income stream for the rest of our combined lives, you know how much that person's going to get every year for the rest of their lives? Around $45,000. So for every $45,000 pension you might have, not that everybody has a pension, that's the equivalent of $1 million. If you get $25,000 from Social Security, maybe you get $2,000 a month from Social Security, that's the equivalent of having $500,000. People don't see it that way. Oh, that person's got $500,000. All I get is a lousy $2,000 a month. It's the same thing. And I'll tell you this, $2,000 a month is a lot more predictable than taking your $500,000 and investing it and watching it fluctuate each and every month. And as the retirement date grows closer, or if you're taking money from your investment account and it's fluctuating even more, that can be a little scary. As a financial planner, I want to help you find a way that you can have the best of both worlds. I want you to figure out what is going to be your predictable income and what will be the income that we can draw upon from that will continue to grow as well and keep up with the pace of inflation. You see, financial planning is not about picking the next Tesla, the next hot international company, the next hot cryptocurrency, whatever it could be. Financial planning is building a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your financial planning life. It incorporates your paycheck, the money that you need to protect your family, your retirement accounts, your bank accounts, your cash accounts, all of that stuff. Making sure that your designations are properly noted. Making sure that your estate planning documents are in place so that if something happens to you, and I'm not even talking about death, something happens to you in a car accident, and someone needs to sign on your behalf, that you have the proper documentation in place to protect you. All of that stuff. Making sure that when you get a refund or you owe money at the end of the year on your tax return, that it's not a surprise to you. It's something that you well planned for. At Friedman Financial, we take a look at the big picture, and it would be my honor to have the opportunity to meet with you. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on that website. You can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. Put in your email address, your name, how you heard about us. And if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation, write it in the comments section. Or if you want it even easier, pick up the phone, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And we will get back to you. We'll talk to you about how you can get serious about your financial planning and post yourself in the right direction. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.